Let's see here. My dad had a heart attack on Friday out of the clear blue, just to kind of, you know, and they had to quickly go in and do the surgery and put the stent in. So that was interesting. My mother at 74 got her black belt in Taekwondo a couple of weeks ago. That was kind of exciting. And on a personal note, our house has been attacked with squirrels, chipmunks, and mice. So we have had a wonderful last 3 days, let me tell you. Other than that, there's not really much going on from a personal standpoint. But note, still continuing to obey God. Been in traveling ministry for 18 years this July. I guess will be 18 years since we returned back from overseas. We were over in the Czech Republic last summer, spent 6 weeks over there revisiting the churches, had an anniversary in Olomouc, one of the churches I had started. It was their 25th anniversary since I had planted that church 25 years ago. Think about it. These works are still running today in various cities. So that was very exciting. Had an opportunity to have an all-day seminar. Had people come from across the country, 14 churches represented, was able to impart into them, spend a whole Saturday together. It was exciting. Had people come from overseas, friends and people that had known me way back when, fly from England, fly over from Sweden, just to be in some of those meetings. So very, very exciting. But it can't be as exciting as this morning, because we're all here together, and I'm looking forward to ministering the Word. Now, I realize that my time is ticking away while I'm up here talking, so give me 30 seconds on the clock before we jump right into the Word. Let's see, where shall we begin? On the table back there, don't forget, I set out a bunch of products. Feel free to take a look at them. And got a couple of new books since I just printed, literally, just a couple of weeks ago, since the last time I was here. Volume 4, Volume 5. This is Venice. Yes, I shot it with an iPhone. And this is Leaning Tower Pisa, and I shot that with an iPhone, believe it or not. I was pretty happy with the way they turned out. But Volume 4, Volume 5, there are 12 chapters in each. They are 12 sermons, 12 teachings. Here's one. We are the people of God, the power of the gospel. Are you in love? Wait on the Lord, the power of the blood. Dealing with discontentment, the show will not go on forever. That's a few of them out of that. Couple of the subjects here: as good as your word, training the human spirit, walking in the light, understanding the fear of the Lord, be still and know that I am God, God will deliver you, remember me, a bunch of other ones, so forth in here. They're really good. I mean, these are, you can use them for devotions, sermons, Bible studies, whatever. And then finally, there's a comprehensive study guide on the subject of divine healing. That's out there on the table. I think I have about 3 or 4 of these with me this morning. They're out there as well. And so feel free, check out some of them. My wife, the last refrigerator magnet she drew, it says, I delight myself in you, you are my refuge. She loves the draw. So we made that into a magnet. That's out there as well. And then some of the postcards that she has drawn to, they're available. And if you get Cornerstone Television, it's on Channel 40. It's there in Western PA. I'm imagining it probably, I know that it airs coast to coast, but viewing audience, potentially 3 million people. But we're on every Thursday morning, 5:30. If you're not up at 5:30, DVR. And then when you eventually surface around noon, you can always sit back in your easy chair and hit the play button. Good, solid teaching. I share that program with my mother and dad, and they pastor there in the suburb outside of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And so I guess that brings us up to speed. If you're interested, first of all, I know that there are many of you here who partner with our ministry and you pray for our ministry. Blessings, blessings, blessings on you. I can't keep doing what I'm doing without knowing that there are people that are helping and supporting and holding our hands up to continue to go forward. Let me tell you, it is so encouraging and comforting to know that somebody has your back. Isn't that a nice feeling when you know, maybe I can't see what's going on behind me, but somebody's covering my back And so I appreciate that. All of you that support our ministry, pray for our ministry. If you're interested, want to find more out about that, there are a couple of these on the table. I set up maybe five or six of these. Feel free, take one of these home, pray about it. If you're interested, you can always connect with us. And if you happen to fill one of these out today, and it's just an automatic draw system the way we set it up, either through checking account or credit card. If you happen to do one of these today, I did put a sign out there, and it said, feel free to take one of anything off of that table, a free gift up to $25. And it's just my way of thanking you for partnering with us. What do you get out of it? Well, number one, you are involved in the Great Commission. There are sowers and goers, and we can't all go unless we have people that are backing us. And so it's a partnership. The Bible says in Samuel that the guy that went to the battle and the one who stayed at home, they share in the same reward. I personally pray for my partners each and every day. Not one day fails that I do not do that. And I also I write them twice a month. And one is an in-depth, a teaching publication that goes out to encourage our partners as well. So anyhow, there are benefits. There is information out there on the table if the Lord would so speak to you or grant a divine visitation this morning or this afternoon or wake you up in the midnight hour and say, you need to hook up with that guy. Whatever it takes, handwriting on the wall, three angels ringing the doorbell tomorrow morning. I don't know what it's going to take, but if any of those things happen, or perhaps just the still small voice on the inside of you, then thank you ahead of time for obedience. Would you go ahead and stand to your feet with me? We are diving into the Word of God. This is what we came here for. I sure hope that you're ready to grow. Are you hungry? Somebody said, I'm starving. I have reservations at the Olive Garden, so you better make it short and sweet. Well, this is not going to be short. It will be sweet, but it won't be short. So, just to make sure I'm on the same page, Pastor Sherry, so as long as we let everybody out by 3:30, we're okay with that. Is that that's what I understood, unless I misunderstood. Some of you look concerned. No, I know it's 12 o'clock, but that's okay. That's all right. That's all right. We'll let the ushers remove the chains from the back door about 12:05. If you brought your Bibles, lay hold of them and hold them up in the air. And we are going to say this. You say, why? Why? Paul said, I believe and therefore I speak. The Word of God is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. So how would I benefit from declaring the Word of God? Well, we're going to find more out about that in today's service. So I'm going to answer those questions eventually. For the meantime, if you brought your Bibles, hold them up in the air. And let's just go ahead and acknowledge every good thing that is in us because we're in Christ. So let's say this together. I boldly confess that this is my Bible. And I am what God said I am. I have what God said I have. And I can do what God said I can do. Today I'll have a listening ear, an open mind, and a receptive heart. And I shall receive the engrafted Word of God down in my spirit. It will transform my life. It will renew my mind and change my thinking. I'll never be the same as the way I came in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, I welcome your presence in this place right now. And I do acknowledge that you're the miracle worker, the great teacher, and my helper. And so I'm asking you to open my eyes, open my ears, give me wisdom, knowledge, understanding, information, inspiration, revelation, motivation, and direction concerning God's plan, God's purpose, and God's will for my life on this very day. Lord, we're believing you together that every need of everyone in this place shall be met, spirit, soul, and body. We have come expecting, and we will not leave disappointed. Therefore, We're giving you alone all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise right now in advance for what's about to happen, not only in the service, but especially in my life and in my heart, in the name of Jesus. If you agree with that, say amen.
Amen.
And you may be seated. If you brought your Bibles this morning, would you quickly go ahead and open them up with me, please? The Mark's Gospel in chapter 11. Hallelujah. How many of you have some mountains in your life that just simply need to be removed? They need to go. It might be debt. It might be fear. It might be sickness, disease, physical injuries. I don't know. But I do know this, that if you live long enough, right, you're going to meet and come face to face with your enemy. Test, troubles, and trials. The good thing is many are the afflictions of the righteous, the Lord delivers us out of every single one of them. So, we're going to talk a little bit about that this morning. Exactly how do we get out of that? How do we get delivered out of that? So, you can go ahead and mark it down. We're going to talk about mountain-moving faith, or to be quite honest and specific, maybe we should title it this way. Your faith will move your mountain. Your faith will move your mountain. So we're going to look at that this morning in the time that we have. I believe it's going to certainly be very encouraging to you. I believe that probably one of the most important topics in the Word of God is faith. The Bible says that the just shall live by faith. The Bible says, fight the good fight of faith. Paul said that I have kept the faith. He wrote another group of believers, and he said how our faith grows exceedingly. The writer of Hebrews, which I believe to be the same writer, the Apostle Paul, he said, Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. John said, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Hebrews says that through faith and patience we inherit the promises of God. Of course, Hebrews in chapter 11, 1 says that now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And how can we leave out verse 6 that without faith it's impossible to please God? So obviously it's very, very significant, very, very relative in your life as well as mine. I'm going to do what Peter said. He said, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. That's 2 Peter 1:12. Well, I asked you to go with me a minute ago to Mark's Gospel and chapter 11. This is where we're going to read. We're going to read just a passage or two out of this. And I believe it's, as I said, very relative. Mark chapter 11, there are foundational truths, valuable truths. It's going to help to set you and me free. We're going to journey together with Jesus. They're on their way out of Bethany. And let's find out exactly what he's encountered, because there are very, very specific things that we need to take hold with us today if you want to walk in victory. Now, I mean, if you want to keep staring at that mountain, then God bless you, knock yourself out. But if you want a mountain to be removed, then you need to tune in. Don't turn off the television. Don't change the channel. Just stay tuned and listen carefully with me, beginning in verse 12. Now the next day, when they had come out from Bethany, this is Jesus and the disciples, he, Jesus, was hungry. And seeing from afar off a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps that he would find something on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. And in response, Jesus said to it, let no man eat fruit from you ever again. And what's the next sentence say? His disciples what? They heard it. And so they came to Jerusalem. Now, if you're like me, I start asking questions. And one of the things I have asked myself is, why on earth would Jesus take it out on this poor fig tree? Why would he walk up, you know, and basically tear this thing apart, so to speak, verbally? Why would he do what he did or say what he said? And for starters, I think there's a number of reasons or considerations that we could bring to the table. The Bible did say that he was hungry. Now, I don't know how you are, but I can testify personally that when I haven't eaten over a long period of time, I might become a little bit testy, a little bit irritable, like, leave me alone. You know, if the blood, maybe the blood sugar is low and I just need to get some fuel into the system. I don't know how you respond with hunger, but I don't respond with hunger very well. And so the Lord was hungry. And the Bible said that that he saw this fig tree having leaves, and he went to see if perhaps that he would find something on it. Now, obviously, from a distance, it looked like the restaurant was open for business. Why? Because the fig tree, it had leaves on it. What does that mean, Brother Todd? That means it was most probable that he would find figs on it. Now, here's something, and learn this quickly and carefully. When it comes to the fig tree, one of two things happens. Either A, the leaves appear first, and then the fig appears second, or B, the leaves appear alongside with the figs. So, one more time, when it comes to the fig tree, leaves come first, and after the leaves are on... I'm sorry, am I saying that right? Yeah, figs. Figs appear first, before. See, I got it backwards. Figs appear first, leaves appear second, or B, they both appear together at the same time. So what that means is if I'm walking down the road and from a distance I see leaves hanging on the fig tree, then that gives me reason to believe the assumption that when I approach it more closely, being the fact that there are leaves already on the tree, then there must be figs as well. Because the fig... The fig appears first and the leaves appear second, or they both appear the same time. What did the Bible say in that verse as we just read a moment ago? That in the distance he saw what? On the tree. He saw leaves. So that was a clear indication that as he approached closer, he should also be finding not only the leaves but also figs. So In my estimation, this is what I kind of call false advertisement. He closed the business down. It reminds me so many a times that we've run into this in Eastern Europe, going back 20 years ago, 25 years ago. We would walk into the restaurant, they hand you the menu, and they'll, you know, and you look over your options, which weren't quite always that diverse. However, when you finally made up your mind, you weren't always sure if that was going to be available, even though they advertised it. And whenever the waitress would come over and say, "Are you ready? Can I take your order?" And then we'd, you know, run the finger down the menu and say, "I would like this." And I'm telling you, it happened over and over again. They'd look at you and they'd say, "Yeah, we ran out of that. We don't have that anymore." "Oh, well, why is it here?" "Well, we just don't have it anymore." "Okay, wow, give me just a second then. How about this?" "Yeah, we don't have that either." "Why don't you just point to what you do have and then give me a minute or two and come back and then let me make the choice at that time." And this is how it was. And so the Lord comes and he sees leaves from a distance, assuming it would be probable to find figs. And unfortunately, there was nothing. Now, again, I think it's just simply a natural response of disappointment. How many times? I have two teenagers at home. How many times I've went to the refrigerator, right? Yesterday, we ordered Fox's Pizza. We got the Big Daddy with pepperoni and everything. And there, I mean, half of it's left. And I know for sure that when I put that box in the refrigerator, there was at least six solid slices left in the refrigerator. Keep in mind, I have two teenagers. And so it's very disappointing when you... the next day rolls around and it's around lunchtime and you're already imagining, that sounds good. Yeah, I think I could go for a couple of slices of hot pepperoni pizza. You open the refrigerator, there's the box, praise the Lord. You take the box out, sit up on the counter, open it up, and it's like a magic trick. It just disappeared. There's nothing in the box. Occasionally, my wife will bring home a big box of donuts from Walmart, right? The glazed or maple. Those seem to be the two that our family likes the best. And again, it seems like it's a custom in our household that people forget how to throw away or discard empty boxes. So you get up in the morning, right? You get up in the morning and you forgot about it, and you're walking to the kitchen like, oh man, is that, yeah, I hope there's a maple glazed one left, because the box is there on the counter, you know, and as you approach it and you open it up, there's nothing but a butter knife left inside. That's all there is. Disappointing. So imagine Jesus, who is hungry, approaches this. The thing had lied to him. As he approached it, there's nothing but leaves. Now, the leaves don't come until the figs are there or they arrive together. So what does he do? He opens his mouth and declares, no man will eat fruit from you again. And somebody said, well, Brother Todd, yeah, but however, the Bible did say that it was not the season for figs. Now, there are two varieties of figs. There's the early fig and then there's the late fig. This fell into the time frame. If you study, this fell into the time frame of the early fig, which was toward the end of March and then ripe usually by May. This is the window of time. If you read everything in context chronologically, this event happens about 5 days before the Passover. Passover is the beginning of April, which tells us that this happened right here at the latter part of March. That fell into the time frame of the early fig. So it was probable, it was within reason, that this was the time when there would be sure enough figs on the tree. However, it said it was not the season for figs, simply meaning it wasn't the time generally when they would be gathering the harvest. Even though they appeared at the end of March, they wouldn't generally be ripe until May. Are you with me? So it wasn't the time or season for gathering in the harvest. However, yet they still ought to be there. And the very fact that there were leaves on the tree was a clear indication to support that truth. That yes, of course, this was the time. This was the time of the early fig. So he opens his mouth, shuts the business down. No man will eat fruit from you again. Now, I could park here for the rest of the service, but I really don't want to. But suffice to say, the Lord often uses situations such as described as an object lesson. You know, let me take a quick side journey. We know that the Father is glorified that we bear much fruit, and how we know one another by our love. And too many at times there are Christians really that are living phony lives. You know, right down the road from my house, maybe within 8-minute drive, there's always a roadside marketplace. And they'll be advertising, you know, fresh watermelon, cantaloupes, or now we're in the spring, you know, hanging flower pots and all different kinds of things of that nature. So can you imagine? Now, I've never really had any need or desire to just, you know, pull off the side of the road and go looking at flower pots. It's just not my thing. But can you imagine in the summer, if I had this taste, this desire for watermelon or for cantaloupe or for fresh oranges or a basket of apples, and I decide to pull off to the side of the road because, boy, I tell you, from a distance, it looks amazing. Only to my surprise that the closer I got, as I parked the car and approached all of this produce on display, upon examination, I quickly realized that it's all plastic. It's plastic fruit. Are you kidding me? What is this farmer thinking? How's he going to survive? Nobody's interested in plastic fruit. So to me, then my conclusion is, what a phony. What a fake. How misleading is this? Real fruit is always better. Not this plastic fruit or wax apples, right? You want to bite into a wax apple? No, thank you. So the Lord sees this moment as an opportunity, and he sees a tree, a fig tree, mind you, with leaves, keep in mind, saying, hey, look at me, everyone, only to find out upon close examination, there is no fruit on that tree. That is a lie, that is a hypocrite, that is deceptive, and he shuts it down. And consider that in your own life. Because many a times, even in the lives of born-again, spirit-filled Christians, you know, we might go through the motions and try to gain or give the impression to others that, well, we love Jesus and we're on fire for God. But in reality, we're phonies. There is no genuineness about us. Are you listening to me?
we might be able to give the appearance to others because we've learned how to speak Christianese. And you know what I mean? Praise the Lord, I have the victory. You know, it's under the blood. Thank you, Jesus. We've learned all the lingo. We've learned all the terminology. But in reality, there's no real fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, right? Kindness, gentleness, long-suffering, and so forth. That's the real fruit. But from a distance, it may appear or give the impression to those around that everything is okay and we must be a spiritual giant among our congregation. But in reality, that might be the furthest thing from the truth. Well, let me stop meddling. Some of you look really uncomfortable, like, I didn't come to hear that, Brother Todd. You said this was going to be encouraging, and it doesn't sound encouraging so far, so move on. Okay, so we're going to move on. But notice here what has transpired already. If you drop on down quickly, please, quickly, to verse 19. When evening had come, he went out of the city, and now in the morning. Everybody say in the morning. So what this tells us is you've got about 24 hours that had transpired. Whatever happened the day before eventually grew into the evening. And then in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the root. So we have about 24 hours or thereabout had transpired from the time that he looked at this fig tree and cursed it and said, "No one will ever eat fruit from you again." Now notice what happened. They saw the fig tree dried up from the roots, and Peter, remembering, said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed has withered away." Now, Jesus answered and said unto him, or unto them, "Have faith in God." The implication is that Jesus answered and said, when the Lord wanted to communicate something, the Lord would say, the Lord would speak. But when the Bible terms it this way, he answered and he said, then the implication is that the way that it was presented by Peter was more of a question like, look at this fig tree. It's withered away. Like, how did that happen? So the Lord answers his question by saying to him, "Have faith in God." And I know that some of your translations or maybe some of your footnotes in your Bible, it will say, "Have the faith of God." I'll come back to that momentarily. But one of the things that I want you to take a note of is that there was a time factor involved. Even though Jesus spoke to it the day before, notice that there didn't seem to be any particular outward evidence until about 24 hours later. And isn't that so much of the time like how it is in our life that when we go to pray, I know that for some individuals, they just don't seem to be able to process this. Well, I just prayed. I just asked God. I just laid hands on so-and-so. I just reminded the Lord of his word. Now, how come when I opened my eyes at the end of the prayer, I did not see any change or manifestation or harvest? I want you to make a note of this. Harvest does not always appear instantly. Well, brother, I don't need to write that down. That seems to be a reality in my life all the time. Okay. Well, then don't knock yourself over it. You know, don't knock yourself out over it. It doesn't always appear instantly. The Bible says, "Let us not grow weary in doing well, for in due season we will reap if we faint not." Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. So it doesn't always appear instantly. There was a lapse of time. Now, there were instances under the life and ministry of Jesus where, such as he's on the boat crossing the sea with the disciples on board, the Lord fell asleep, and the devil thought, well, what a wonderful opportunity for me to take out the whole team. And the storm arose, the disciples were terrified, they went and woke up Jesus, said, "Don't you care, we're all going to die." And he got up, and he spoke to the wind and the waves, he said, "Peace, be still," and suddenly there was a great calm. So this was one of those instances where when he spoke, immediately there was visible manifestation. Are you listening? And I've noticed that in praying and ministering to the sick. I pray for thousands of people that there are those times when I pray and speak the word, there's immediately instant healing manifestations. Immediately, just like when Jesus spoke to the storm. But right on the other hand, the Lord said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Recovery implies a lapse of time, a period of time. Now, mind you, that recovery time, it may very well be by the time you say in Jesus' name, amen, bang, or it might be by the time they hit the parking lot, or by the time they get home, or by the time they wake up the next morning, voila, there is a manifestation. Whatever, 3 days later, I prayed for a man that was deaf in one ear. He said, in the third day, I was minding my own business, going about my daily, chores and job. And suddenly it dawned on me that deaf ear you had prayed for a couple of days earlier now had suddenly opened up. I never even felt the change. I just happened to notice that I'm able to hear out of that ear that was totally deaf. Now, mind you, there have been instances where I'd prayed for somebody that they were deaf. And in the name of Jesus, prayed for a girl, 18 years old, she was deaf. And instantly, by the time I said in Jesus' name, open, there it is, instant manifestation. She was shocked. She can hear what just happened. Now I'm able to hear, and yet she was born deaf. It was like Jesus. He spoke to the wind and the waves, and suddenly there's immediate manifestation. Or in this case, he spoke to the tree, and outwardly, there was no visible manifestation. Had there been an immediate visible manifestation, don't you think that the disciples would have been doing backflips? They would have been like, guys, did you just see what happened to this tree? The whole thing withered and died. Get a load of that, right? But that's not what happened. They heard Jesus speak, but there was no visible manifestation. So what I take from this is that harvest may not always appear instantly. The Lord promised Abraham a son. It was somewhere in the neighborhood of like 20, 25 years before his Isaac, that promise, came into fruition. That's a long time to wait, a long time to believe God, isn't it? Hello? I mean, look at Joseph. I read after one article where we know Joseph, and Lord had given him a dream, and he went from the pit and to the prison and eventually made it to the palace. And I was curious. I thought, I wonder how long. I mean, here he has this dream as a young boy. Next thing you know it, his brothers turn on him, and they cast him into the pit and then sell him into slavery. And then he ends up in prison. And then eventually he ends up in the palace, the second in command of Pharaoh over the whole area. And I thought, I wonder how long did this guy have to wait from the time that he has this promise of God until eventually he lands in the palace. Now, again, I didn't do a thorough study, but I did some research on it. And some commentaries say about 13 years. Well, that's a long time, right? I mean, that's a long time to hang on to a promise. And, let's be honest, for some of us, 13 minutes is enough. I mean, I prayed 13 minutes ago. This stuff doesn't seem to work. I mean, somebody laid hands on me 13 minutes ago. I'm still in pain. Forget it. I don't believe any of this. How'd you like to hang on for 13 years? Harvest may not always appear instantly. Write this down. A delay is not a denial. A delay is not a denial. The Bible says that all things are ours because we're in Christ. And John 15, verse 7 declares that if we abide in Him and His words abide in us, then we can ask what we will and it will be done. The implication is that if His words are living in me, then when I ask, I'm asking according to His word. And His word is His will. And John said it this way, 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. This is the confidence that we have in God. If we ask Him anything according to His will, then He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, He said, we know we have the things we've asked of Him. So, a delay is not a denial. And sometimes, we might get the false impression. Man, I've prayed for something. It's been 13 minutes, 13 days, 13 weeks, or in this case, 13 years. And it just seems like it's never going to happen. Says who?
Are you prepared to go the distance? That's what you have to ask yourself. Even though harvest doesn't always appear instantly, a delay is not a denial, assuming that whenever I ask the Lord, I did pray according to His word. So I'm not asking God for something outside of the book. I'm not asking for something outside of His promise. I'm not asking for something outside of what He's willing to do. I'm asking according to His promise, according to what He said. He is willing and has to stand by His own word. The Bible declares heaven and earth will pass away. God said, but my word will never pass away. The psalmist said, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Hallelujah. So here we are. We have situations like this. And let me ask you this question. Has there ever been a time in your life when you've asked the Lord for something? You've prayed maybe for something personally that you had need of, or maybe even for an immediate family member, and you did not see the manifestation come as quickly as you thought that it would come, or could have come, or should have come. I think we probably have all been there. And the tendency then is to give up. The tendency is just to sell ourselves short and say, well, if it was the will of God, if God was in this, then surely I would have seen some kind of a result by now. Okay, write this down. Seeds take time to grow. Seeds take time to grow. And that's the exact parallel with our faith. Our faith takes time to grow. That's the bottom line. Genesis 8:22. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest and cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. There's no such thing as a miracle seed that if I sow corn today, I'll be eating it right off the cob tomorrow for lunch. Give me a break. I know that people may try to sell that stuff on infomercials. 30-day money back guarantee. You take one of these pills, you'll be 5 pounds lighter tomorrow, and by the end of the month, you fill in whatever number. Right. The British would say, pull the other leg, it has bells on it. How naive do people think that we are? That's insane. How many of you remember the parable of the sower? I don't have time to get into this, but Mark 4:26-29, Jesus said, the kingdom of God is as a man, as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He should sleep night and day, sleep night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He doesn't know how. For the earth yields crop by itself, first the blade, then the head, and after that the full grain in the ear. He doesn't know how. And the good thing is, he doesn't have to know how. But the implication is there's a period of time that lapsed. He sowed the seed, then he went to sleep, and then he rose. He went to sleep, and then he rose, and eventually harvest came. And Jesus likens or compares his word as unto a seed. In Luke 8:11, he said, the seed is the word of God. So then why do we become so impatient if we take a promise, a scripture, chapter and verse, and we believe it, and we pray it, and we talk about it, and we embrace it as truth, and we receive it in our heart, and we're holding on to this promise, why do we get so bent out of shape? Because maybe we didn't see the manifestation come as quickly as we just thought that it should have come. It should have worked. And I know I've caught myself saying, I don't know. I've prayed. I've done all that I know to do. How come I'm not seeing the manifestation quicker? And the reason is because it takes time for seeds to grow. And here's the deal. Sometimes in our waiting, Ephesians 3:20, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask, think, or imagine according to the power that is at work in us. Sometimes in our waiting, God is rearranging things around and getting ready to do more for you than you've even asked him to do. So it would be beneficial to us to have a little patience. So a couple of years ago, I needed a printer. And I do lots of printing for the ministry. And this was, $700-$800 printer. And, you know, expensive. So I went and I bought it at Staples, got a warranty, a 2-year warranty on it. Long story short, after about a year or so, I'm printing one day, and it sounds like there's a, you know, there's a little miniature man inside with a sledgehammer, because as it's printing, all you hear is wham, 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 wham. And I'm thinking, that doesn't sound right. And so I called, and I have to speed this up. So I called, and the process of phone call after phone call after phone call, fighting, dealing with the warranty, they're telling me, will you find somebody to fix it and then send us the bill? I'm like, I don't have that kind of time. That's why I bought the warranty, for you to do your job, right? Now, I didn't say that, but I thought that. And I was more diplomatic, but I was firm. Anyhow, it took about 6 or 8 phone calls over the course of 3 weeks. This was like a tennis match. I served the ball in their court, and then they'd serve it back to me the week later. And I thought, this is crazy. Thank you, Lord. Victory. Thank you, Jesus. I have victory. That's it. Forget it. Thank you for favor. 3 weeks goes by. They call, and they say, well, we've decided, well, finally a decision has been made. We've decided to refund you the entire full amount. I'm like, okay. All right, here's my address. So now what? I said, what do you want me to do with the printer? We don't care what you do with the printer. I said, mind you, it works. It's just making this loud banging noise. Something's wrong. Well, we don't care. You do with it what you want. We're mailing you the check. Okay. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what you asked. So watch this. This was the favor of God that finally, after this battle, you know, they returned the full price of the machine that still worked. And I thought, well, if it still worked, I don't mind living with the sound a little longer. So listen to this. Ephesians 3:20. Now there's nothing, hear me, listen. So this lasted for a couple of months. Then all of a sudden, it shut down completely, and this code came on across the display. And I didn't know what that was. Code, whatever, XYZ345. What does that mean? So I went online. I thought, well, maybe I need to do something. And I Googled it, and it said, contact Hewlett-Packard. Okay. So I contacted them. I said, what does this code mean? Is there a reset button, something I need to do? And they said, tell us what the serial number is. So I tell them the serial number of the machine. And they say, oh, that particular machine has been recalled. Give us your address and we will overnight you a brand new printer tomorrow. Then I feel like I'm double dipping, you know. I said, well, wait a minute now. They've already refunded my money for this defect, okay? I've got my money, so I don't want, you know, I'm being up front. I'm not doing anything under the table. I said, they've already sent me the check. And they said, we could care less what they did. We're Hewlett-Packard. We stand behind our products. There's a recall on that machine. Give us your address. We will overnight it. And this is like a 50-pound thing. You know, that's got to cost a lot. The next morning, this massive box, brand new printer, still running today, just like a racehorse. Everything's going fine. Amen. But harvest doesn't always appear instantly. The Bible talks about fighting the good fight of faith. And the enemy was challenging for weeks and weeks. This went on. And I said, no, 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 no. Thank you, Lord, for favor. Thank you, Father. You're in this. Thank you. It's coming out. It's working to my advantage. It's the Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him who's able to do above and beyond. And God turned the whole thing around. So I want to encourage you, no matter what you're facing, no matter what you've been believing God for, maybe it hasn't happened as quickly as you thought it could have, like me, or as quickly as it should have. However, keep hanging on. And let me just look at the other side of the coin. Faith, mind you, it can transcend time.
So even in your waiting time, when faith is involved, there are times in our life where our faith crosses the boundary of time, and it's one of those wind and wave experience where there's immediate results, okay? So, Sunday night, this was a few years back, the pastor's wife is sitting on the front. She broke the heel of her foot. She has a walking, like a removable cast, a Velcro cast, you know, from her foot, maybe up to her calf. She broke her foot, her heel of her foot a couple of days before. Well, long story short, I ministered to her in the name of Jesus. She takes it off. She walks fine. Instantly healed. It's one of those wind and wave experience where it's immediate. Our faith can cross over time and see things come to pass in that regards. Are you with me? You know, I think I had shared this, but a number of years ago, my family, you know, we were... Oh, give me a minute, just a second. They'll hold your reservations for a few extra minutes. So I split my calf muscle. My family and I were in martial arts and wonderful exercise. And so I jumped up, and when I came down, I exploded my calf muscle. Basically, it split. So it was a real wonderful experience for me, as you can imagine. And this was just so many weeks away before our second degree black belt test. So I have the orthopedic doctor look at it. He's like, yep, that's exactly what you did. I'm like, well, in so many weeks' time, I have to jump up and I have to break two boards simultaneously out in front of me. I have to do a vertical jump and a split, breaking two boards. And with this type of injury, I can't even walk, let alone jump and let alone break, you know. It's like, well, you know, da da da. So long story short, I was standing on the word. Thank you, Lord. I don't care how long they might say that it'll take. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for quickening my body. Thank you for quickening my muscle, this tear, this injury. Thank you, Jesus. So that day came. It's me. I'm at that point, I don't know, 50 years old or something. I've got a 20-something year old and a bunch of teenagers. They all failed. I was the only one successfully at my age to actually do that break successfully. And to God be the glory. My point is that our faith can cross over time. Okay? We must have faith and patience as we inherit the promise of God. We must have faith and patience to be willing to go the distance and say, hey, I don't care how long I have to stand. I know, the Bible says, and I quoted it earlier, let us not grow weary in doing well, because in due season we will reap as long as we don't quit. And I said, I'm prepared to go the distance. That's it. And when you're prepared to go the distance, I'm telling you, it's like faith can transcend time, like I'm describing, and you'll see things often move into place or happen or manifest a lot quicker than they would in the natural realm. If, say, you wanted to just wait, like the pastor's wife who broke the heel of her foot. Well, I mean, how many weeks does that usually take to heal up a broken bone? I'm sure it takes more than 3 or 4 days. But her faith transcended, and as I laid hands on her and spoke, then instantly that miracle came. I'm going to have to close on this note. I feel like I got the baby halfway out, but that's all right. We'll still call it a miracle. And I can't leave you hanging on this. Wow. Okay. Just write this down. This is my last thought this morning. An inward work will eventually produce outward evidence. You know, I do a lot of highway driving, and I'm telling you, the Pennsylvania Turnpike, it seems like the longest stretch of road in my life. When you go from Western PA all the way to over into New Jersey or New York, it's like it just never ends. And so, mind you, there are times, you know, sitting behind the wheel for 18 years, you just get tired. I've tried the blowing the air conditioning in your face, winding your window down in the middle of the winter when it's snowing outside. I mean, all the above. It just doesn't seem like it works other than for that moment. But once I crank the window up and then the heat fills the car, then it's in the la-la land again. Somebody said, drink coffee. Well, I don't like coffee. I don't like the look of coffee, the smell of coffee, the taste of coffee, anything. Now, don't judge me just because I'm holding this little bottle up in front of you. You've all passed this in the gas stations when you went and, you know, filled up your vehicle. They're all at the cashier's, a little five-hour energy drink. No, it's not alcohol. It's not, you know, no. It's just caffeine equivalent to, they say, about 1.5 cups of coffee. You drink your coffee, I'd rather go for pomegranate, grape, or orange flavor. To me, that's much more appealing. My point is as tired as I become sometimes on the road, once I drink this, this stuff enters my system. And what begins to work inside of me in a matter of minutes will now produce outward evidence. The fatigue is lifted, the tiredness is gone, and I suddenly begin to perk up. I wake up, and that'll carry me for the next, you know, for the rest of the leg of the journey of that trip. Just like you in the morning, I got to have my cup of joe, you know, I got to have that. Where is that? In fact, I think I need three of them to you know, jumpstart my day. Now, that's okay. Whatever works for you, this works for me. My point is, an inward work produces outward evidence. You take a look at the new birth. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and new has come. I used to work as a cook in Tulsa, Oklahoma, back in the 1980s, across the street from Oral Roberts University. It was called the City of Faith Hospital. There was a man that worked in there, I mean, maybe a couple of years older than me. He always came in miserable. He looked like he was just, he would enjoy hurting somebody for that day. That would bring him joy. He never smiled. When he got his list of duties, responsibility, he just looked miserable. He looked like he had drank a half a gallon of lemon juice before he came in. I don't know how to describe it other than to say he was unfriendly, unkind, and somebody that you just didn't enjoy being around. And you got to work with somebody like this and see them for the next 8 hours every day. So I invited him to church. Well, he got saved. He gave his life to Jesus. I've never seen such a transformation. The Bible says that the light of the body is the eye. I mean, honest to God, it was like the guy had flashlights in his head or something. He totally changed. The next time I saw him at work, in the workplace, it wasn't the same person. It was, can I help you? Do you need help? Is there something that I can get for you? What can I do? And there was light in his eyes. He was that way until the day that he left and moved on to another job. His entire countenance changed. Why? Because an inward work produced outward evidence. I'm talking about mountain-moving faith. Maybe I didn't get in, unfortunately, to some of the specifics, but suffice to say that you have what it takes. If you know Jesus and you've given your life to the Lord, Romans 12:3, God hath dealt to every one believer the measure of faith. You really have it. Now, whether you don't realize you have it, whether you're not using it, well, that's another thing. But you really do have what it takes, mountain-moving faith. And I want to encourage you today, whatever it is you're facing, doesn't matter, whatever it is you're facing, stand your ground in the name of Jesus, right? Don't get discouraged if you don't see any visible change. Take courage that God is probably rearranging things around like he did with the printer, right? And getting ready to even do more for you than you've asked. Remind yourself that faith takes time to grow. Remind yourself that the seed is the Word of God. And if you'll get into the Word and then hide His Word in your heart and stand on His promise, then it will produce results. That inward work of God, His Word that you've hidden in your heart, you've cultivated it. And in the meantime, thank you, Lord, for your promise. Thank you, that you are who you said you are and you'll do what you said you will do. In the waiting time, it's praise and worship. And in that waiting time, you know that you know that you know it's all going to work out. Haven't you been there that in the face of adversity, in the face of a storm, all odds were against you. And it looked like there's no light at the end of the tunnel. However, you being a Christian, knowing what the Bible promises, you decided to stand and believe God. And even though in the face of the storm, you knew inside, it's all going to work out. I know it's all going to work out. That's what we're talking about today. And the reason is because faith comes from your heart, not from your head. I can't tell you how many times I've looked in the face of the storm and saw what I was up against on any level, whatever, you know, the situation might be. But I said, okay, Lord, I am not worried. I'm not concerned. Probably I maybe could be or should be, but I'm not concerned. I'm not alarmed. I'm taking you at your word, and I know that you're working it out. And I'm telling you, your faith will move your mountain. It absolutely will, every single time. On that note, I'm gonna have to stop this morning, church. Would you go ahead and stand to your feet with me? So now you know why I brought this up. Let's just lift our hands this morning as we close. And just think, but for a brief moment, of maybe some of the biggest challenges that you're facing today in your life. Think of some of those challenges. Think of some of those challenges. Remember that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So don't look at a person as being the obstacle in your way. It's the spirit behind that that's stirring things up. Okay? I know it's easy to point a finger and say, well, okay, you're going to speak to that mountain. I'm going to speak to that person and tell them to be removed. Well, it's the spirit behind that that's stirring things up, that's stirring up the bee's nest. So say this with me. Father, thank you for your word. It is truth. I acknowledge it as truth. I receive it as truth. I'm asking you today to seal the word of God in my heart and in my mind. Help me be a doer of your word, not a casual listener. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for reminding me of these foundational truths, the simplicity of the gospel. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for strengthening my faith, bringing clarity and understanding. And from this day forward, I will refuse to doubt your word. I will stand on your promises. I will open my mouth. And I will speak to the mountain, just like Jesus illustrated for us, that whoever would say unto the mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and will not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he will have whatsoever he saith. And so in the name of Jesus, I speak to lack. I speak to debt. I speak to pain. I speak to infirmity, sickness and disease. I speak to addictions. I speak to fear. In the name of Jesus, I break your hold. Go! In Jesus' name, I break it right now. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness, for your faithfulness, for your word of promise. I give you praise, even in advance, for the manifestation and victory that is coming my way. I am not the sick trying to get healed. I'm the healed of the Lord. And I am protecting my health in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You didn't come that I might survive. You came that I might enjoy life, the abundant life. And so I look to you, Lord, You're my source and supply. You're my master. You're in control. Forgive me, Lord, in the days gone by, for being like that roadside fruit stand and putting out plastic fruit. Forgive me, Lord, of not owning up to my mistakes, of not being genuine, the real McCoy. Forgive me of allowing hypocrisy in my life. I ask you, Lord, that you would arrest me anytime and any place, and that you would have your way in my life, and that if I begin to get off track, that you would bring this quickly to my attention and help me to get back on course. I need you, your help, your leadership, your wisdom, your correction, your direction in my life. Thank you, Lord, for loving me, forgiving me, cleansing me, writing my name in the Lamb's Book of Life, making me part of the family of God because of Jesus. I ask you, Lord, to use my life in these last days for your glory, to produce miracles and to bless others. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you.